Let me pray as we begin. Father, I ask that as we come to this, the word of the Lord, you would teach us more of Jesus, the Lord of the word. Amen. What difference does all of this make? Matthew's eyewitness account of the life of Jesus draws to a close. Across 28 chapters, he has shown us that Jesus was born, lived, taught, performed miracles, died, and rose again. But what difference does that make today? 2,000 years on, April 2020, with the concerns and the questions of the world today, what difference does Jesus make to my life? I believe that in these closing sentences of his book, Matthew wants to show us that the risen Jesus gives his followers comfort and purpose. The risen Jesus gives his followers comfort and purpose. And I want to look at this idea of comfort and purpose under three headings today. The risen Jesus is the King of Kings. The risen Jesus is a message for the whole world, and the risen Jesus is always with his people. The risen Jesus is the King of Kings. The risen Jesus is a message for the whole world, and the risen Jesus is always with his people. So what difference does all this make? Well, first point, the risen Jesus is the King of Kings. Right from the start, Matthew has been keen to show his readers that Jesus is the King. In his opening verses, that perhaps we might be tempted to skip over, Matthew traces Jesus' family tree back to King David. And Matthew tells us about the Magi coming to find Jesus from far away, to find the King. Then, as his biography of Jesus unfolds, he continues to show us Jesus doing things that the coming King was promised he would do. And he notes that even very unlikely people proclaim that Jesus is the Son of David. Matthew has been showing us that Jesus is the new King in David's line. The one promised to David who would sit on his throne forever and ever. And yet, since chapter 26, things have started to look a little strange, haven't they? The king is arrested. The king is betrayed. The king is killed. And those expecting this promised king, this Messiah of God, have no box for a crucified king. So what's going on? Well, perhaps after the glorious news of Easter and the empty tomb that we looked at last week, you would think everything is okay. But look in verse 16 of chapter 28. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus' followers are obedient to him. They go and they meet him where he asked them to. And they worship him. But some are still unsure. This is one of those strangely refreshing moments in the gospel accounts, isn't it? Look how real Matthew is. He doesn't sugarcoat his story. Despite the wonders, despite the teaching, despite being face to face with the resurrected Jesus, some who are there doubt. They are unsure. I wonder if you've been unsure in recent weeks. You're following Jesus. You're seeking to be obedient to him. But perhaps you doubt. Perhaps you don't have a box for a faithful God when COVID-19 is killing people and turning lives upside down. Maybe you've been furloughed. Maybe you're not sure if your business is going to make it through all of this. And those things have caused you to doubt. We'll look again how in the mixed context of worship and doubt, Matthew returns at the end of his book to his message that Jesus is the King. And he's not just any king. No, Jesus is the King of all, the King of the whole world, the King of heaven and earth. In verse 18, look down. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." If you're confused, if you're doubting or unsure, there is comfort. Jesus wants you to know that all authority of all the earth and everything above the earth belongs to him. Jesus' throne is above everything. He is the King of the seen and the unseen. He is in charge of it all. The world leaders around us are under the rule of Jesus, whether they see it or not. Jesus is the ruler of all times, of all places, and of all people in all the earth. Because the risen Jesus is the King of kings. Now, our country's leader, Boris Johnson, has shown that he has a certain amount of authority. He came on our TV screens and he told the country to work from home and to stay inside whenever possible. And for the most part, people have. I drove in the car the other Monday to get some food. It was a time that would usually have been rush hour in the evening in Tunbridge Wells. And as I went along St John's Road, I barely saw another car. And yet, despite his authority to tell us to stay inside, we can't say of Boris that he has all authority. We can't say of the Prime Minister that he has the authority over the seen and the unseen. For not everyone has obeyed his instructions. And he has been powerless to stop himself catching the virus. But Jesus won't catch the virus. Jesus will never get sick. Jesus never has to take time off or hand his role over to others for a while. And his term as leader will never end. He has proved by his resurrection that he has authority even over death. So he will be the King of kings forever and ever. What comfort there is here for those who trust in Jesus. In strange and in difficult times, when everything seems turned on its head, when perhaps more than ever death has loomed large, one thing is unchanged. Jesus is the one in charge. Jesus has conquered the grave. As everything perhaps seems out of control, remember Jesus still has all authority. The risen Jesus is the King of kings. And because Jesus is the King of the whole world, the risen Jesus is a message for the whole world. Our second point today, the risen Jesus is a message for the whole world. Having established the truth of his complete authority, Jesus now gives his first followers their purpose in life. Telling others. Look at verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Here begins a new stage in history. The good news of the rescuing God is about to spread far beyond the physical land and people of Israel. Jesus tells the disciples they will reach the ends of the known world. And as we look through the book of Acts, we see that happening. And it continues today. There are those who sacrifice much to take this message of the risen King Jesus to the farthest reaches of the world. Today, thousands of years after this happened, there are still millions in the world who do not know the name of Jesus. There are still those in our world who need to hear about the saving work of Easter. But perhaps in a time when we've been told to stay in our homes, it is good to know that Matthew's emphasis here in these verses is on making disciples. The going, the baptizing, and the teaching are all means to that end, to make disciples, to tell others about Jesus and all that he has commanded, to share with the whole world his life, death, and resurrection, to offer to others the good news that in a broken, sin-marred world of suffering and death, Jesus is the King of Kings, and he has conquered sin and death, and he offers comfort and life to those who will come to him. In recent days, even the most normal and perhaps certain things of our lives have been shaken. Things we usually take for granted, like there being loo roll and broccoli in the supermarkets, have been shown to be completely out of our control. And as our friends, as our neighbours, as people across the world question life and the things they thought could keep them secure, how can we be pointing them to Jesus? A new boldness and intentionality about what we share on Instagram and Facebook? Or maybe with doors shut and eyes closed, we are praying for strangers and friends alike to turn to King Jesus. As the majority of us face evening after evening inside with nowhere to go, are we making the most of this opportunity to build others up? Can we send a verse of encouragement to a friend? Can we ring someone up and share what we've been praying for them? Is there extra time to sit down with those we live with and read the Bible together? Parents, suddenly finding ourselves inside all day, every day, with our children? What a wonderful opportunity to take seriously this job of making disciples, right where we are, at the meal table, in the garden, at bedtime. Are there new openings there to disciple those little ones that God has put in your care? For those whose work means we are still out and about, how can you be making disciples as you go? Pray for your colleagues. Be ready in season and out of season to share the hope that you have in the risen King Jesus. Remember that as others are panicked and shaken, perhaps in ways you've never seen before, remember that you can show them that he who is in you is greater than all of this. The risen King Jesus is a message for the whole world. The risen King Jesus is a message for your own heart throughout each day. A message for your family, whether cooped up together or scattered afar. The risen Lord Jesus is a message for your street, a message for all. The comforting news that Jesus is the King of Kings gives us purpose, as we need to share this comforting news with the whole world. But it can be terrifying, can't it? A scary prospect, sharing your faith with others. It often feels so hard. The whole world feels so against Jesus. After the past few weeks that we've been looking at Matthew's Gospel together, we've seen that people are so opposed to the idea that Jesus is the King of Kings that they would nail him to a cross until he was dead. So how on earth am I supposed to live out this purpose of showing others that Jesus is the King of Kings? Well, again, Matthew shows that followers of Jesus have a great comfort. Jesus offers a great comfort to his followers. He says that the risen Jesus is always with his people. The risen Jesus is always with his people. Again, Matthew began the book with this idea. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we learned that Jesus would be called Emmanuel, that is, God with us. And here, at the end of his book, in some of his final words, Jesus restates this truth of being with us. Verse 20, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This small gathering of followers that stands with Jesus on a mountain, worshipping and doubting, this group that has just been told that their new purpose in life is to share Jesus everywhere they go, they're probably thinking, well, how on earth am I going to do that? And Jesus' answer is that they are not alone. He will be with them. And not just some of the time, and not just for a limited time. No, Jesus says he will be with them always and until the very end of time. Because the risen Jesus is always with his people. And as such, this promise remains true for his followers today. As we pick up the task of the disciples, of making Jesus known, of making Jesus known to the world around us, of sharing the message of the risen King with the whole world, it is a daunting prospect. It is a daunting purpose to have on our own. But we do not do it on our own. We do it with Jesus, the King of Kings, risen and at our sides. Behold, he is with us, not some of the time, but always, until we see him face to face. The risen King is always with his people. So what difference does knowing that Jesus died and rose make to your life today, in 2020? Today, when the news feed is little more than update after update about a pandemic changing the world? Well, I hope you see the difference Jesus makes is purpose and comfort. The risen Jesus is ruling over all things, and he is with his people as they live for him and share him with others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great news that Jesus is the King of Kings. We ask that you would comfort us in these strange times, and that you would remind us that you are always with us as we go into the world to share the good news of Jesus with those we meet. Help us as we make disciples. Amen.